The NBA draft lottery will take place tomorrow. We'll get to your sicko satchel questions. But before all of that, we have to address trade rumors with some familiar faces, all today on Locked On Hornets.
We're Locked On Hornets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
In a minute, cuz we live. We live.
It's Locked On Hornets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day. Thanks for making us your first listen. We're free and available anywhere you get your pods. That does include YouTube. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. One day before the lottery, Doug, how are we feeling? We feeling good? We feeling hopeful? Optimistic that the Hornets could get this first overall pick thing going on.
I'm just trying to keep it loose, trying to keep it loosey goosey. Really, you know, trying to channel that energy in a positive way. I'm nervous, obviously, but I'm feeling hopeful in that way that only a sicko truly can. Believing with everything, every fiber of my being, that Victor Wembanyama is on his way to Charlotte. I do believe that until they pull the card and reveal that it's not, I will continue to believe that.
Oh, that's perfect. Right. So we have the live show. We'll find out all together.
We're going live tomorrow.
Coverage will start at 8 o'clock, as coverage does for ESPN. So we have you ready. As soon as the show is going to start, you know how they do this, right? They're going to, you know, squeeze every bit of content they can.
Vamp.
And then I think it's a 30-minute show. I don't think they do the whole hour thing. I think it's 30 minutes. I think they talk about stuff for like 15. Then they start to reveal the cards and introduce everybody that is a representative for their franchise. And so as that's going on, we will be there to talk all about it. So hopefully we get some good news. All right, let's address some trade rumors here first, though, Doug, because some familiar faces that are – well, part of the trade rumors that the Charlotte Hornets could be included in. Let's start with someone that I've seen tweet at us a couple times where they've asked us, okay, should we go after this guy? He makes sense. It used to fill an old desperate need. I don't know how much it fills what is a desperate need anymore. And that's DeAndre Ayton, who Doug had, it went about as bad as it possibly could. I don't know about this entire season, but last offseason, the Pacers gave him an offer sheet as a restricted free agent. There was a lot of talk about whether Phoenix would match or would they just lose him for nothing. Well, Phoenix, they matched immediately so they could avoid the whole sunk cost thing, right? So they bring back DeAndre Ayton, and then you have what was an awful postseason for him. Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, going crazy. You might call him Devin Snooker if that's something you want to do.
I mean,
and DeAndre Ayton, there was no redeeming thing about DeAndre in this postseason. It just didn't work out. I've long been a huge defender. The report is from Sean Devaney that you have quite a bit of teams that are interested, possibly, in a DeAndre Ayton. The Charlotte Hornets are one, Chicago, Dallas, Portland. Those are all some of the sites. And Sean Devaney of Heavy.com, he said an anonymous NBA executive pointed to those teams as possible suitors for the former number one overall pick. Should Charlotte go after DeAndre Ayton, Doug? You tell me.
No. I mean, this is a guy that has a huge contract and disappears in the playoffs. No, I don't think the Hornets need that. They drafted their future center in Mark Williams. And I think he showed me enough in his rookie season, and I didn't really have any expectations for Mark Williams in his rookie season. He exceeded the zero expectations that I had and showed me that he has the potential to be a 16-10 guy in the regular season, which is what Ayton is. What we've yet to find out is does he have sort of the toughness and the playoff mentality to not shrink in the playoffs? But I'd rather find that out at Mark Williams' contract number than to explore whether or not Ayton, you know, needs a change of scenery or whatever. Like, just get out of here. Like, he made the money. He got his, you know, he got his big check and couldn't come up big in the playoffs when he has Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. I'd rather trade for Jock Landale. That's as strong as I can come with that take. Like, I want nothing. The Hornets should have not. You know why? Because this is why they shouldn't have anything to do with it, because it would probably involve moving someone like Gordon Hayward or possibly Terry Rozier, because we're going to get to some of those rumors as well with the Phoenix Suns. But this would be the continuation of something that I've had a problem with in terms of this organization for a long time, which is compounding mistakes. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think you would agree. I don't necessarily agree with this, but you would think that the size of the Terry Rozier contract was a mistake. I would think that the Gordon Hayward contract, the size of that and the length of that was a mistake. You don't compound that by trying to get rid of those contracts and pick up another big question mark that could end up being a mistake, a weight around your neck for many years to come.
No, and I agree with that, man. And here's the thing. When DeAndre Ayton would come up in trade rumors before, even before this past season, this was one that I was willing to explore. And because usually I want to do the money-saving thing if it's not for a guy that I know is going to flirt with all NBA selections. I'm a little tight with spending the money for sure. DeAndre was always a guy that I defended. And Doug, it was because he actually was really good in the postseason in previous years. This was not that. He regressed so badly, which is a bad sign. It was an awful situation between him and Monty Williams. Those guys didn't even talk over the offseason, admitted by both parties that they didn't even talk. And Monty Williams is one of the great guys in the NBA. Even he was frustrated. And so, okay, usually you would say maybe the coach is at fault. And I think he is. I think Monty needs to reach out to DeAndre in the offseason a little bit more. But we know how nice of a guy Monty is, how beloved he is. Like, I don't know if DeAndre is the one that gets the benefit of the doubt. As much as I hate that, I'm usually pro player, but we know what it is between both of these guys. I just hate it, man. DeAndre was awesome in his first ever postseason run. They get to the finals, and in huge part, not just because he did some nice things, he was a huge part of them getting to the NBA finals, giving you 20-10. He like missed five total shots in the first three games, and he regressed as soon as they got, and defensively, Doug, it wasn't there. So if you get a guy, he's got all the talent. I should say, if he's produced before, then there is reason to believe that you can get that out of him again. There is, right? But I'm with you in not wanting to take that risk, especially with Mark Williams having played as well as he did his rookie season, by getting rid of a $30 million close to contract, not quite 30 with Terry, getting rid of a Terry contract, Gordon, whoever, and bringing back somebody who's actually making more. Yeah, I don't want to trade for DeAndre, and that is not true after even last season. I thought DeAndre would have been a worthwhile experiment.
Yeah, and I don't know what a change of scenery would do at this point. I think we know what DeAndre is on the court, and I think we have a good idea of what's going on, sort of in the psychology of it, because, like, I don't know what would satisfy DeAndre Ayton at this point. He got the money. He had all-stars on all-stars on all-NBA players that should be able to make him better than he was, and he wasn't willing to commit. And he had a coach in Monty Williams who, honestly, I hate to drop this take in the middle of this trade discussion, this juicy trade discussion that we're getting on the eve of the lottery. I can't believe that we got both of these juicy trade rumors. But Monty Williams is a guy that, like, if the Hornets lucked into Victor Wembanyama and suddenly the organization was like, hey, listen, Steve Clifford, thanks for what you did, but we're going to move in a different direction that we feel like is a future direction, I would not be mad at calling up Monty Williams and saying, hey, what you doing, buddy? You know what I'm saying? I mean, Monty Williams is a great coach, and I think he could take the Hornets a long way. So if you can't get along with that guy, I don't know what you're doing.
And maybe there's some history, I don't know, but I don't think so. I mean, Monty, everybody freaking loves him. And think about that. I'll leave you with this. After you drop that take, you have Nick Nurse, you have Monty Williams, and you have Mike Budenholzer, all available. Like, these are guys that have won championships, been to the finals. I mean, it's
I'm
crazy.
Good with Bud. I'm good with Bud. I'm very good with Monty Williams. I'm a little questionable on Nick Nurse because
the player relationship thing.
Yeah, the relationship thing. And I think you could probably make that argument with Bud. It seemed like the Bud and Giannis broke down, and a lot of people have a lot of things to say about Bud's, you know, lack of being able to make adjustments. But hey, look, man, 50 wins, just get to 50 wins, and get to a couple of playoff series wins. I mean, you can't be picky. Like, sickos cannot be choosy. Okay,
that's actually our motto. Sicko should not be choosy.
But seriously, don't go after Nick Nurse. It seems like a big question mark. I don't know. You need Kawhi. Right, like, I just want to say, like, Bud didn't, like, you know, but yeah, Bud won a championship against Giannis, but Bud also took, you know, Atlanta Hawks teams that didn't deserve to win some series. He won some series with those teams. So, like, that's why I believe in Bud over Nick Nurse.
Yeah, it's a good system, right? The whole thing with Bud is, can he make postseason adjustments? And a lot of people don't think he can, but he got a championship and, you know, okay. So, and you're right about the 50 wins thing. I figured you would get a little bit hotter with your, hey, maybe we should take a look at Bud takes as this offseason
goes
on. This
was a juicy first segment. I'm just going to say that we really started hot. There have been a lot of takes that have been thrown out. We've got some coaching takes. We got some trade room. We still have another trade room that we haven't gotten to yet. I can't wait.
All right, let's do it. Let's find out who's involved in that. Coming up next on the Locked On Hornets podcast.
Don't go to sleep on the Hornets just yet.
Another person mentioned in a trade rumor, except this time, instead of the Hornets being interested in someone, it's another team being interested in a current Charlotte Hornet. We'll get to that in just a moment. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. It is a fantasy sports app or website where you can pick 2 to 6 players. And if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. There's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. And they offer projections on any sport you watch. The NBA, the NFL, the MLB, men's and women's college basketball, the WNBA, esports, NASCAR, Euro basketball, cricket. There's so much more. Go to prizepicks.com and find out for yourself, because entries can be made in just 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. You have safe and fast withdrawals, and they're currently operational in over 30 states and even Canada. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks gives you $100. If you deposit $50, they give you $50. Do not forget to enter promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. More trade rumors coming up next.
Is Locked On Hornets.
Adam Silver had Ahmad Rashad up on stage, and he used his phone to like body scan Ahmad Rashad, and then they like inserted a digital version of Ahmad Rashad into the highlight. And wow. So I'm looking at this and going, just fix my league pass. I don't want to be in a highlight. I would just like to actually watch the highlight without my application logging me out, freezing, dropping all of the time. Fix my league pass before you insert me in the game, please and thank you.
It's time for more of the Locked On Hornets podcast.
All right, Doug, we have another trade rumor. Any ideas? Any ideas who could have cooked this thing up? Take a guess?
No, not this soon. Not this early in the offseason. Oh, yeah. Not this early. It. You cannot tell me that it's... Who is it?
The Jake Fisher.
Oh, we're going
has another
fishing,
rumor.
Baby.
What you got?
We got a big one.
Oh, yeah, we do. Jake Fisher wrote on BleacherReport.com that...
Well, hold on. He wrote it on Yahoo. Bleacher Report is reheating some Jake Fisher takes.
Gotcha. Thank you very much. I appreciate you cutting that off. Yes, Yahoo Sports, Bleacher Report. Hey, see, I fell for it. I fell for the aggregation.
These things, I'm sorry. It's part of this is my fault. First of all, I have a baby, and that baby woke up at 4 a.m. this morning. So I'm dealing with that. I'm doing the best I can. Bear with me. But I put the Bleacher Report because that's where I found it. And, you know, aggregation being what it is, please aggregate us. We love being aggregated. But aggregation being what it is, this is a Yahoo Sports report that Bleacher Report is writing up.
So Jake Fisher, who, by the way, I think hosts a podcast called Please Don't Aggregate This. Jake Fisher has a report out there on Yahoo that was then aggregated by Bleacher Report. And this is what was said, quote, heading into a crucial offseason with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker to lead the franchise, the Phoenix Suns could seek help from a younger point guard who does not have the same injury concerns that veteran Chris Paul does. Here's the kicker. Per Jake Fisher of Yahoo Sports, Fred VanVleet and Terry Rozier have been linked to the Suns by league personnel. Couple things. One, if you need a younger point guard that is not going to undergo as many injuries as Chris Paul, the point guard part seems to matter. And that's not really what Terry Rozier is. He is a combo. We've seen him really as the shooting guard. And when he is asked to be the lead ball handler, it doesn't go as well for an offense. And so if you want that facilitator, then maybe Rozier, maybe even Fred VanVleet would not be the guys that you want to go to. But those are the names. Is this something that you would explore, Doug? And we've already had this conversation. bringing Chris Paul back. That was a hot rumor that we tried to cook up, that we tried to get aggregated on when we cooked up a possible Chris Paul return. And maybe it was even at the deadline, something like that. Is this something you would be interested in, trading a Terry Rozier and then taking back Chris Paul, whoever else in return?
I think under the right circumstances, if they really felt like they were ready to move on from Terry Rozier, if they had a suitable option, say, for example, they get the second pick in the NBA draft and they decide to draft Scoot Henderson, knowing that they're going to need to start Scoot alongside LaMelo Ball, then you have to figure out something to do with Terry Rozier. And if Terry Rozier is not interested in the bench role, why not explore some options to possibly bring back some assets? Because it's not about Chris Paul at this point. It's about what would Phoenix be willing to part with in order to make a Terry Rozier kind of deal happen. And plus, you get to move off the long-term deal that you sign Terry Rozier to, and that's going to open up your books as soon as the two seasons from now. Mm-hmm. So those would all be positives. You know, for Phoenix's part, I mean, you are getting – I get what you're saying on the combo guard piece – but Phoenix, I think, has a lot of shooting, so you could take Terry Rozier at point guard and the shooting dip that's going to come with it that the Hornets fans saw this season when he had to take a lot of the point guard duties. And, you know, you may not even get as many of those negatives with Terry Rozier at the point guard position because he had to bear so much of the responsibility for the offense for the Hornets. I think that had a lot to do with some of his offensive struggles. He's not going to have to do that on a team, you know, with Kevin Booker and Kevin Durant, or Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. You're just not going to have to do that. So I think you would get a vastly different Terry Rozier than you saw in Charlotte. So I think it's worth exploring for Phoenix. Now, I'm just going to say this, and I want to know what your thought is. On both the DeAndre Ayton rumor that we talked about in the first segment and this one, this feels like we're doing a little bit of microwaving here. It feels like we're hitting power high, 2 minutes, beep, boop, 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 bzzz. Like, I feel like we're microwaving some old interests that maybe contextually don't make as much sense anymore for the Charlotte Hornets.
Oh, yeah. No, you're absolutely, I mean, especially with DeAndre, because now you're talking about not having maximized the possible value you could have gotten in return for DeAndre Ayton. And this is all after the contract. So before he signed the big deal and when he was playing better. I mean, Doug, even if he brings you a postseason on this type of contract that he did in years past, then you could get something valuable in return. I don't know what you would trade for DeAndre. I'm sure there's one team that would give the Suns something valuable because you still believe in his talent, but not nearly as many, I wouldn't think. And I think the Charlotte Hornets are probably one of them because they have Mark Williams now. You allowed them, think about this too, right? Like, you have Detroit. Well, they've collected a million different centers, including a Jalen Duren. So Detroit could have been a team, but now they're going to be out. You had Charlotte, but now they got Mark Williams because you let them go another offseason with an attempt to fix it. And then you also have a Utah, which I don't even know if they would have been interested because Danny Ainge, they're not ready to win yet. But after they traded Rudy Gobert, they found their center to replace. And so, yeah, the center need, the center well, it's actually at least people drinking from the center well is starting to dry up. It's starting to, I mean, not just, I don't know how many other people are you going to be able to trade for him. So with Terry, I think this one would make more sense is my point, right? Like, even for Charlotte, the thing about Chris Paul's contract too, and I know we talked about this whenever we discussed possibly bringing him back in return. So the 2023-24 partially guaranteed contract is what he's got on the rest of his slate. 2024-2025 is not guaranteed, and he signed a four-year $120 million contract in 2021. So it's not like, so you would have him for this year, and then you would actually have a choice on the following season, which I do think is attractive. Putting him alongside LaMelo, maybe that's what makes you queasy. What are you?
Would you even have him for this year? I mean, to me,
maybe not.
I don't think Chris Paul would be interested in any kind of homecoming. And I don't think I would hope that the franchise would not be buying into that whole thing. You know, when you have LaMelo Ball and possibly a big pick coming your way, that they wouldn't continue to fall victim to like nostalgia and homecoming and constantly bringing North Carolina guys, you know, back into the fold. Let's actually go and find players wherever they're from in the United States or worldwide that can make this franchise, you know, help this franchise win a playoff series. Let's not worry about that stuff. So to me, if this deal were to manifest itself, either Chris Paul is moving somewhere else via a three-team kind of situation, or Chris Paul finds his way to Charlotte and then finds his way to the waiver wire and to a playoff contending team early next season.
Well, and think about this too. The biggest problem with Chris Paul when he played was that they weren't fast enough. You have a 180-degree turn with LaMelo at point guard and Chris Paul. You literally, you have the fastest and the slowest point guards on your roster. And so even with just putting them in the backcourt together, LaMelo, Chris Paul is going to be breathing with his tongue hanging out, just trying to keep
tortoise
up.
Tortoise in the hair.
Yeah, and LaMelo is going to be, he's going to be twitching like he's all jacked up on Mountain Dew trying to get down the court, while Chris Paul is just pounding it into the floor at the top of the key, calling for people to set screens. So that would be the thing that would also hurt. And last thing, just to get some more information on this, Tim McMahon of ESPN, he was on the Hoop Collective podcast, and he said the Suns will, quote, aggressively shop Chris Paul in trades this summer. So I don't know if this is one where they're going to be looking to do him a solid. Hey, would you rather go to this team? If you're aggressively shopping him, then it seems like they're just going to go ahead, trade him. Maybe that team buys him out and then he can choose. But yeah, it looks like Chris Paul is going to be moving on from Phoenix.
Well, listen, I think all of this in Phoenix with the new ownership and firing Monty Williams and looking to move all of this after, you know, getting blown out. And then you look at what's gone on in Milwaukee and Toronto ejecting Nick Nurse. It all just goes to show you that as much as all of us sickos, we just want to win a playoff series, right? Mm-hmm. But if this franchise does get Victor Wembanyama and find some playoff success in the future, there's still pain ahead. Like, if you don't constantly win championships in this league, it's the weirdest thing. If you don't constantly win championships in this league, then everything is poop and you have to restart and redo. It's odd, man. I can't believe Phoenix is just coming apart at the seams like this, but it's fun to watch. I mean, Devin Snooker really doing a number on this franchise.
No,
I mean, can you believe it? I mean, you know, won't even come out and talk to the media after losing that playoff series. I mean, you know, just come out, take the loss. Don't Snooker everyone. This is ridiculous, Devin Snooker.
The hate. This has been going on since, like, what, 2019?
Just unbelievable. Just win a championship already. I mean, come on.
That's true. That's true. All right, coming up next on the Locked On Hornets podcast.
I find my button.
Don't go to sleep on the Hornets just yet.
We'll get you set for the lottery taking place tomorrow, and maybe we can get to one pre-lottery sicko satchel question. We'll get to a lot of those tomorrow as well. Have one more episode before the lottery. And remember, we have the live episode on YouTube at 8 o'clock. We'll be going live just as ESPN coverage starts as well. So you can join us while maybe putting your TV on mute. Whatever you want to do, just pull us up on the window, give us the view, and then go ahead and subscribe, watching us live during the NBA draft lottery. We'll set you up in just a moment. Coming up next, Locked On Hornets.
Is Locked On Hornets.
This says the Hornets received 3 votes for their handling of James Borrego, who was viewed as doing a good job the past couple of years before Charlotte fired
him, man,
after the season. Then hire him. No one's hired him. These GMs are like, oh, we love James Borrego. Oh, you're going to hire him? Nah, I don't think so. He got blown out twice in play. You can't hire that guy.
It's time for more of the Locked On Hornets podcast.
All right, Doug, let's tell the people what to expect for tomorrow. In case you don't know the odds, here are the top 5 teams and where they project, what their percentiles are of actually getting the number one overall selection, or what the percentage is, right? So Detroit, Houston, and San Antonio, they're all tied with a 14% chance to get the number one overall selection. Then the next team, that's where your Charlotte Hornets fall, at 12.5% shot of getting the number one overall pick. Behind them, it is Portland at 10.5, and I'll give you 6 and 7. Orlando is 9. Then you see a decent jump to Indiana with 6.8. Washington, 6.7% chance of getting the number one overall pick. As noted, Charlotte is number 4, not too far off of the teams tied, the 3-team tie that you have to get that number one overall selection. What else do you note here, Doug, when you kind of look at the odds, maybe not for number one, but with how far the Hornets could fall back in the NBA draft? What's something you also note here with the odds?
Their highest single percentage for a pick is actually the 6th pick, which is a 25.7% chance of falling to 6. They actually only have a 7.2% chance of going to 5. which, look, I'm not great at math. I stopped. The greatest note I ever got was going into college. They told me I didn't have to take any more math courses because of my ACT score. I said, okay, fine. You got a deal. I'm not taking any more math courses. I'm going to become a podcaster. They said, what are podcasts? I said, don't worry. You'll find out about it in a few years. And so here we are. I don't really understand the math on that, how they could only have a 7.2% chance at the fifth pick but have a 25.7% chance at the sixth pick. But I'm going to take Tankathon's word for it here. So that's interesting. But they have 12.5% chance of one, 12.2 of two, 11.9 of three, 11.5 of four. It really is a crapshoot. I mean, go to tankathon.com and run the odds, and you're going to see, you know, all these teams with 3% chances and 1.8%, Dallas, Chicago, Oklahoma City, you're going to see all of them jump into the top four at some point. Like, I think people go into these lotteries with a pre-readjustment of the odds mentality of like, yeah, it's going to be Detroit, Houston, San Antonio. And that's just not how it is anymore. It is a total crapshoot. It's anybody's game at this point. And even though the Hornets have the fourth best odds, doesn't really matter. They could easily get one, two, three, four, or fall back to six.
Yeah, and so seven is still a pretty good possibility. So that's the worst case scenario, in my opinion. Like, technically, could fall back to eight.
Technically, the worst case scenario is eight.
Yeah,
that's math. I do know enough math to know that they have a 2.2% chance of eight, and that makes it the worst case scenario.
They do. It is quite literally the worst case scenario. But man,
the worst case scenario would be getting eight and Mark Williams walking around and breaking his ankle, you know, falling off the stage. That would be the worst case scenario.
My point being, 2.2. They're really snake bitten. I mean, they are really snake bitten if they get that eighth overall selection, because it is by far the lowest odds that they have to get one selection. But they can't fall further back than that. The eighth spot is the furthest they could fall back. 16.8 for seventh overall pick, 25.7, as you mentioned. And so it's about a 45-55 odd that you will get a top four pick. 45% chance that you're going to get a top four pick. 55% chance that you're going to get something after that. So all things considered, pretty good considering the odds that the Hornets would have had they won more games, or even if they would have tanked, right? Like, that's why I'm not pounding the table for them to have lost more games, because they were throwing out a bunch of players that honestly weren't going to get you there anyway. So I'm, at least because of the injuries. So I'm cool with where they ended up here, given the odds that they have to get that number one overall selection.
Can I just prepare the sickos out there for what's going to happen if the Hornets get the number one pick? And I'm not even talking about our reaction or the live show. That's going to be crazy. So definitely tune in youtube.com/LockedOnHornets. We're going live 8 p.m. Eastern, along with the coverage from ESPN second screen action for this podcast. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not even talking about our reaction, but if the Hornets get the number one pick, can you imagine the reaction from the national media, which is going to be disgust? They're going to be disgusted with the Charlotte Hornets getting the pick. They're going to be disgusted with Michael Jordan as the team owner possessing the pick, because everybody hates Jordan in the national media, Jordan and management. They just don't like it. And they're going to say it's completely rigged, right? that this is all rooted in the potential ownership change that has been not rumored, but confirmed that the Jordan team is exploring it. People are just going to go apoplectic. It's going to be Patrick Ewing conspiracy theory levels of, you know, debating whether or not the NBA is corrupt and the Hornets don't deserve the number one pick. So I think as sickos, we have to steel ourselves, understand that's going to happen, because I think the danger is going into this lottery and expecting the Hornets to get the number one pick and everybody to be like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. LaMelo, Wimby, that will come eventually, but first is going to be vitriol, then acceptance, and then national TV games and people going, ooh, LaMelo, Wimby, yay.
I think there is going to be the LaMelo presence, though, helps a little bit. I think people are going to be excited about that two-man game, but you're right, maybe only a little bit. That will help, and most of the reaction is going to be negative. All right, that'll do it for Locked On Hornets. The day before the draft lottery, thanks for making us your first listen. Make your second listen Game to Game NBA. Every moment, every top performance, every result, Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the league with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcast. We'll release another episode tomorrow morning, on Tuesday morning, and then we'll go live. So we'll go live at 8 o'clock on YouTube. Go check us out and do the whole view subscribe thing. Make sure you do that. And then that 8 o'clock show, that will also be the Wednesday episode, but we will be going live at 8 o'clock on Tuesday. So make sure you check it out and see the live reaction to whatever selection the Hornets will be making in the NBA draft.
And we didn't, if you can see the graphic, if you're watching on YouTube, we did mean to get to the Sicko Satchel. We have a ton of pre-lottery questions that are going to be completely, we can't even answer them after the lottery actually happens. It's Schrodinger's Sicko Satchel, which is, by the way, that's tough to say, but yeah. I nailed it. Nailed the disc.
Yeah. Okay. No, you did.
So,
all right.
So we will do Sicko Satchel tomorrow. We've got plenty to get to. So if you wrote in one of those questions on YouTube, thank you to the sickos out there. We're going to get to your questions tomorrow. So tune in.
We got a lot. It's been a fun segment. We'll do that tomorrow just as much as we'll have fun with that, just as much as we will with the live show. Again, 8 o'clock. Be there or be square, baby. Have a great rest of your day. We'll be back with you tomorrow.